One more time, we're up to Nechemi Perik Zayin Pasuk Mem Vav. We're up to the Nesinim. So yesterday we went and we discussed in pretty much in great detail the difference, the contrast between Sefer Ezra and Sefer Nechemiah. There's a very massive Mitzudos David. I want to go through with you soon. But before, we have to first finish the Perik. So yesterday we went through the Shevet Yehuda, Shevet Binyamin, the Kohanim and the Levim. We went through the Chashuvim of Klal Yisrael, and we discussed many differences between what appears in Sefer Ezra and what appears in Sefer Nehemiah. We discussed why there are two different records, and we discussed the total sum. The difference was a little bit more than 400 of the Miyuchasim, the Yisraelim, the Kohanim, and the Levim. Now, we're up to the Nesinim. We're up to the people that do not have the best Yichus. The Nesinim, the Avadim, the Avdei Shlomo, Barzilai Hagiladi, people that were not from the Miyuchasim. And then also we have an addition of the singers. Let's see exactly what it says here. Pasuk Mevav HaNesinim. With regard to the Nesinim, the Nesinim were those that were Yehoshua appointed them as water carriers and wood choppers. If you look quickly in the Pasuk, just to review there, everyone knows this, but it's good to review in the Mitzvot and Pasuk Memvav. He tells us what the Nesinim, Pasuk Memvav in the Mitzudos David, HaNesinim, Heim HaGivoinim. This was a nation, Givoinim. They were part of the Canaanim. They were required to leave Eretz Yisrael. They tricked Moshe and Yehoshua into making believe that they were foreigners, they were from another country. And Moshe punished them, Yehoshua punished them, HaGivoinim, V'nikvosh Nisinim, Al-Shem, Shenem, Abraham, V'yitim, they're called Nisinim, from the word Vayitnim. They were assigned the task of water carriers and wood choppers. V'yitim, Yehoshua, Chet, V'yitzim, V'chul. Okay. For those back, Pasim, Mevav, HaNisinim, who are the Nisinim? They are B'nei Tzicha, B'nei Chasufa, B'nei Taba'os, B'nei Keros, B'nei Sia, B'nei Fadon, B'nei Livana, B'nei Chagova, B'nei Salmoi. These are all different members of the family of the Nesinim, B'nei Chonam, B'nei Gidil, B'nei Gochar, B'nei Raya, B'nei Ritzim, B'nei Nikoda, B'nei Gazam, B'nei Uzo, B'nei Foseach. Okay, that's good for Pesach, B'nei Veisai, B'nei Meunim, B'nei Her Kivachsiv, B'nei Fi Shisim, it's a Chirik Mole, B'nei Vakvuk, a bottle. Okay, that's a very unusual name, name of film, B'nei Chakufa, B'nei Charchur, B'nei Vatzlis, B'nei Mechida, B'nei Charsha, B'nei Varkos, B'nei Sisra, B'nei Somach, B'nei Netziach, B'nei Chatifa, B'nei Av. That concludes until Pasuk Nun Zayin, that concludes all of the families of the Nesinim. I should have counted them. It's always nice to have a nice little number. Okay, unfortunately, I think I forgot to count, but
Sisra, really?
Sisra, no, it's not likely that they were. It's the name of a family. It was called after Sisra Melech Yavin. Sisra was the general of Yavin, right? The nation of Yavin. Okay, I don't know if that there was a relationship or they just happened to have some similar name.
They weren't Jewish, so I guess it's.
Okay, so here we. How many families were they? You want to count very quickly? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, and 32. Okay, I count to 32. Quickly. What?
Two breaths.
Two breaths. Aseres b'nei Haman. Okay, but these are not necessarily so there. Okay, these are, but we have over here 32 families. Everything has significance. I just learned yesterday in the Haggadah, preparing for today. How many times do you dip your finger into the yayin and remove drops of wine? So how many times? Anyone want to take a guess?
13.
No. Why do you say 13? Because the 10 aseres b'nei Haman and that tzachadash v'chabah. What else? Dam v'eish v'simras oshan. 16. Okay, 16. And in the safe I have a Pardes Eliezer. He has all of these very elaborate interpretations, the significance of number 16, why 16. almost everything it says there, I don't understand. It's all very esoteric, Kabbalistic. But it goes into the number 16 is such a significant number. Everything when you, it's very, Chazal were called Sofer. They took everything and they put it in terms of numbers. And there's definitely something to it. Like, you go through these sukkim, so it doesn't mean anything to us. But you say, okay, there are 32. You summarize, there are 32 names of the Nesinim. Okay, that's it. So you have a summary, something you can hold on to. Yeah.
Why was it important?
Yes.
Yet account for people who were not important.
They were important because it's,
they had no positive role.
They did have a role. They were the water carriers. If not for them,
but they, in terms of Kohanim being Israel, in terms of being Jews,
no, they were Jews. They did convert. They were not allowed to marry into the mainstream, but they did convert to some degree, and they provided a very important service. There's obviously a lot more to it than we know.
In other words, I'm trying to...
Why
bother counting them? They're second-rate.
It's true, but just because someone is second-rate doesn't mean you have to, you don't count. It's not so simple. I don't know the answer. You're making a good point. They're second-class citizens, but they are recognized as citizens. Yeshua legitimized them because of what they've done. Whatever the story was, whatever they did. So you're saying something very interesting for modern day legal immigrants. Go look at the Nesilim. The Nesilim were basically illegal immigrants, and then they were given us citizenship by Yeshua. Vayidim Yeshua, not as full sense. Right, they were not allowed to marry into the population, and they were assigned these low these tasks which the average person would not do, to be a water carrier and a wood chopper. It's interesting, and we do give them legitimacy. They are counted, they are enumerated, each 32 families, both here and in Sefer Ezra. So I don't know, there's something to it. You're making a very good point, which I don't know the answer to. Yeah.
They volunteered to be. They didn't have to.
No, they tricked. They did something illegal. They disguised themselves.
They didn't have to come back.
They didn't have to come back.
So they had this kind of in between.
Right. Okay, you're saying they didn't have to come back. Maybe they did. Maybe once their masters were coming back, they forced them to come back.
Oh.
We don't know the whole story. Were these people, were they forced to come back? Because they definitely needed people to do, there was no indoor plumbing those days.
Yeah.
They needed someone to bring in the water, something that we take for granted. That's what they're saying is the greatest invention of this generation. It's not the computer. It's not all the technology. It's not medicine. It's indoor plumbing. If we did not have today indoor plumbing, it would be a different world. This is the greatest bracha of this generation. Okay, let's go further. We have over here these 32 families. Now we come to Bnei Avdei Shlomo, another category of people, slaves. It appears these slaves, Avodim Kenanim, they are not from Jewish stock, and they were slaves of Shlomo HaMelech. Here we're dealing over here about 500 years later. They are still, their families are still called Avdei Shlomo. Who are they? Bnei Sotai, Bnei Soferes, Bnei Firida, Bnei Yallah, Bnei Darkon, Bnei Gidel, Bnei Shifatiyah, Bnei Chatil, Bnei Foicheres, Foicheres HaTzevoyim, Bnei Amon. Fine. So that's another collection of families of the Avdei Shlomo. Let's count. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 families. So 32 Nesinim and 10 families of Kohanim. What's the tally? Kol HaNesinim uvnei Avdei Shlomo Shlosh Me'os. After all these long psukim, the whole thing, you think you're dealing with thousands? No such thing. We're dealing with a total of 300, Tishim Shnam, 392. 392. What does it say? What does it say in Sefer Ezra? Exactly the same. There's no discrepancy between the Avdei Shlomo and the Nesinim. It's exactly the same between the two. Okay, let's now go to next. Elohai Lemitel Melech. Now we have a new collection of people. Now these are people these are not names of families. These are names of places in Bavel. These are Jews. We do not know where they come from. We'll see that these are Asufim, Shtukim. They cannot trace their lineage. They were seemingly descendants of the Aseres HaShvatim, or maybe some of them were Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim. They were assumed to be Jews, but they cannot trace their lineage. And if you cannot trace your lineage, that is a very big, what?
Undocumented.
Undocumented, but they know that they're Jewish. This is a discussion, this is a very interesting topic that's discussed in a Perek, Asar Yuchsin, and end of Sechta Kedushin. There's such an idea that, let's say we have a situation where we a person, he is 100% sure he is Jewish. His mother is Jewish and his father is Jewish. And let's say he even knows which Shevet he comes from, but he does not know who his father is. That's a chesaron in his yichus. Part of the full-fledged sanctity of being a Jew is you know who your father is. If you don't know who your father is, you cannot trace your lineage, even though according to halacha, you are a full-fledged Jew and you can marry anyone that you want. There's something lacking in your sanctity. In order to be zochet to merit a special siyata d'shmaya, and one of the blessings that Klal Yisrael is given is that because we trace our lineage back to the Avos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He rests His Shechina, His Divine Presence upon us. He guides us, He protects us, He cares for us. But if a person cannot trace their lineage, that takes away from the spiritual concept of Hashra'as HaShechina upon a person. Even, so it's one thing for sure when a person doesn't even know if he's Jewish. I'm not sure. Is my mother Jewish? Is she not Jewish? I have no choice but to convert. Unfortunately, in Eretz Yisrael, there are many people like this today. Today, kibbutz goyim, they come from different nations. Ethiopia and from Russia is a very big problem. It's one of the biggest problems in Eretz Yisrael today, where many people are told by, they spend a lot of time on this, is tracing people's yichus, and when they cannot come to a conclusion, it goes to the biggest Gedolei Yisrael. They try very, very hard, I've heard a lot of stories like this, to not require a person to be Megai or Misafik, but under certain circumstances, there's no choice. There's no choice. They have to tell the person that L'chumra, you have to be Megai. So that's one thing. Okay, so a Ger doesn't have the same status as a Yisrael Miyuchas in one regard. But let's say a person knows for sure that he is Jewish. He knows his father and mother are Jewish, but he just does not know who they are. Cannot trace. That's also lacking in sanctity, and there's a chesaron relative to other people in their ability who can't trace their lineage. So, what? No impact. What?
I mean, we don't know.
The impact is more of a spiritual resting of the divine presence. It's like it's a spirit. No, forget about Shad. If a person, don't get me started about that. But no, it relates to this. It's a spiritual idea that Hashem Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu Mashre Shchinas Ela Ala Mishpachos Miyuchaso Shebe Yisrael. There's a Mamre Chazal. It's based on a source. Hakadosh Baruch Hu rests His divine presence upon families that are miyuchasos. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He rests His divine presence? We don't really know what it means. It's some type of spiritual blessing. Just like we do not know what it means and when the Beis HaMikdash was Kayim, the Shechina rested in the Azara, the Shechina was resting upon in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Every family, every Jew, to a certain degree, is a moshav, is a receptacle to receive the divine presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
How do you reconcile that with the constant warnings in the Torah to how to treat a ger?
We have the Messiah ger, he gave him Hayisim Yeretz Mitzrayim.
Hashem's Shechina doesn't rest on a ger.
Hashem's Shechina does rest. It's just relative to Yisrael HaMishpachos HaMiyuchasos. There's no question Hashem rests Shechina upon every member of Klal Yisrael, but there are different degrees. Okay, we don't really understand what I'm just saying words. We don't understand what this means. There is a Maimon Chazal. There's a Maimon Chazal that says Ein Hakadosh Baruch Hu Mashre Shechinaso Ela Al Hamishpachos Miuchasos Shebe Yisrael. A ger in his degree is also a Mishpacha Miuchasos because he knows where he comes from. He's also Ben Avraham. He also has a new beginning. His neshama was there by Matan Torah. But a person that doesn't even know where he comes from is lacking. It's a problem. The Shechina will rest upon him, but he's lacking in this, where the Chazal say that this extra special blessing of the Shechina resting, we don't know what this means, is lacking when a person cannot trace his lineage. Now we are about to enumerate a whole group of people who are not included in the list above of Sheva, Yehuda, Binyamin, and the Kohanim, and the Levim, and the Nesinim, the Avdi Shlomo, who were definitely Jews. They were halachically Jews, and we're going to see all the examples in a moment. They lived in Bavel. They'd been there already for about 100 years, because this is taking place 36 years since the time. Well, it's about 80, 90 years, whatever it is, since the time of the Churban. They've been there for a number of years. Problems have come about, and now they're coming. They're also making Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, but they don't have the same degree of Yichus. Let's see. Now, the Eila, the following are a list of people who have ascended Nitel Melech. It's the name of a place. Unlike the previous series of Sukkim where we mentioned people by their family name, now we're mentioning people who came from a very specific location. The tel means the mound of salt. Tel Charsha. Charsha really means death. It's the name of a place. Kiruv. That's the name of a place called Kiruv, which is an angel. Okay, is there any city today called Angel in the United States? I'm sure there is.
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. Okay, very good. Adon. Adon. I don't know. Adon is the name of a place. Master. I don't know exactly what. Adon. The Imer. Imer also means in the Turks. The what are they called?
Amir.
The Amir. So it's a similar expression. So these are five different places. Tel Melech, Tel Charsha, Kiruv, Akruv, Adoin, and the Imer. Five different cities in Bavel. But the members that are coming up from this group, they have a problem. They were unable to trace their lineage to a father, to a grandfather, Vizaram, and their seed. The Mitzuda says these two words really mean exactly the same thing. Their fathers and where their seed came from. Im mi Yisrael, if they were Jews. And because of this problem, they had no choice but to convert out of doubt in certain circumstances. Who are these families? So here we go. Bnei Deloya, Bnei Tovia, Bnei Nikoda. Three families. In addition to these places, there was also families. Bnei Deloya, Bnei Tovia, Bnei Nikoda. It seems that these are different. These are besides the people that came from those places. We also have three families who also were problem. They were individuals, select individuals that came from five different cities that could not trace their lineage, and then there were families, three major families that could not trace their lineage. What does it say over here in the Mitzudos? Mitzudos, there is no Mitzudos. Okay, three different families. What was their total number? The five cities and the three families. Sheish Meos V'arba Mushnaim, 642. This is different than Sefer Ezra. Sefer Ezra, there were more. There was 10 more, 652. A discrepancy of 10 between what's in Nehemiah and Sefer Ezra. Now, also there were people from the family of the Kohanim which could not trace their lineage. Okay, these are Kohanim, Umin HaKohanim. There was a family called Bnei Chovoya, Bnei Hakotz, Bnei Varzilai. Who was Varzilai? Varzilai Shalokach Mibinos Barzilai Hagiladi. They were Kohanim that married into the family of Barzilai Hagiladi. He was a person that was very good to David HaMelech. When David HaMelech was running away from Avshalom, he ran away. He was all alone, and he came across this person Barzilai Hagiladi, which seemingly was not Jewish. Okay, we don't know. It could be that he was Megai. We don't know. We don't really know too much about him, but he was very, very good to David, and he supported David at this very difficult time. And in reward, when David's malchus was restored, David commanded his children that the family Barzilai Hagiladi shall be guests, permanent guests in the palace of David and Shlomo, for in reward for the kindness that they have given David in the very difficult time. So they were very prominent family. Zilai Hagiladi family, and the Kohanim befriended them, and they married each other. They intermarried. They married each other. So we assume that the Barzilai, if he was a ger, fine. If not, if he was Jewish, fine and good. If he was not Jewish, it's problematic, because a kohen is not allowed to marry a geyres. Okay, but there are different halachas. It's complicated. All the halachas are complicated. But whatever happened, they did marry. A problem was, that they got, they over time, over this period of time, we're dealing with over 500 years, a lot of things got confused. 500 years have passed, the families expanded, and not everyone in this family can trace their yichus exactly who their father, the grandfather, the great-grandfather, who everyone was, and there was much confusion in this family, so they knew that they were kohanim, that they were certain about, but from the mother's side, there was definitely significant problems. So that the kohanim took from the daughters of Barzilai Hagiladi, or wives, Vayikori al Shemam. So you would think that normally in time of Chazal, when a woman gets married, she loses her identity. She is absorbed under the name of the husband. But that's only true when you have a regular family, then the husband is more miyuchastik than the wife, or the husband has more status. But when the wife, the family of the woman is so prominent, happens, people, the men, lose their identity. They only know, oh, he is the son-in-law of this Rosh Hashiva. He is the son-in-law of this Gevir. When a person marries the daughter of a very powerful, prominent family, so you only know from them from the wife's side. You don't know from the husband loses his identity. Barzilai Hagiladi appears to have been so prominent, anyone that married, even a Kohen, who were the Meyuchasim of Klal Yisrael, who married into that family, lost their identity, and they were called after the Barzilai family. Vayikorei al Shemam. Ela, all of these people, that we don't have a number. This is interesting. It does not give a number. All we know is that in addition to the people that these, the five cities and the three families who cannot trace their lineage, and there we gave a number of 642 or 652 in Ezra. Here when we list the Kohanim who cannot trace their lineage from their mother, we do not give a number. We just mentioned there was a collection of these people. A number is not given in Sefer Nechamim, it's not given in Sefer Ezra. Ela, all of these people, Bikshu, they tried their hardest. This goes concerning the Kohanim and the previous collection of people. Bikshu Kisavam, a document, a deed, a yichus brief, ha mis yachsim, that can trace their lineage to someone, that can trace where they come from. But v'loy nimtza, they couldn't find it. It was destroyed in the Churban, the turmoil of Churban. They were unable to trace their lineage, and therefore, what happened to these people? Something frightening. Vayigo'alu min ha'kuna. They were rejected. They were rejected. They were no longer allowed to participate in the avoda of the Beis Hamikdash. Vayomer ha'tirshasa lohem. Tirshasa is Nechemya. Mitzudas Tavin, both here and in Rashi, also as well in Sefer Ezra. Even in Sefer, the Sefer Ezra, when we have almost the same words, word for word, he said to these people, Tirshasa, we had many times, Tirshasa, Heter Shasa. The Chazal allowed him, Matir him, to drink the wine of Daryavesh, of a non-Jew, even though it's Yayin, it's Stam Yenim, or Yayin Nesach, they allowed him to drink the wine because he was the butler. Vayomer HaTirshasa, Nechemya said to these people, Asher lo yoichlu mikodesh hakodashim, you're not allowed to eat from the kodesh hakodashim, you may not eat to avoda, eat kodesh hakodashim, which also means truma, according to many opinions, ad amoid hakohen l'udim v'sumim, until the day will come when there will be urim v'sumim, and they'll be able, the urim v'sumim will be able to trace your lineage, will be able to ask, that was the choshen of the kohen gadol, in the choshen was, in the fold was the shem Hashem, you would ask a question to the, in front, in the presence of the Urdin v'tumim, and the letters of the Shvatim would light up and spell out an answer. It would then be for the Kohen Gadol or the Skan Kohen, whoever it was, to figure out what those letters meant, to combine them into words, and to receive a response from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the response would be, if these people, these individuals, were miyuchasim or they were not. It's a matter of fact. Factual, this is not a matter of halach, this is a matter of fact, so they were rejected. Now let's assume here the Mitzudos, there is no Rashi here, the Mitzudos just for these Psukim. Pasuk Samach Aleph. Run through very quickly. Very quickly. I'm not going to do the Samach Ve'ele. Haniskarim Lamata Bnei Deloya Heim Hayoyle Mitel Melech Ushmois Mekaymos Heim Bavel. Those five names listed are places. Next, and these people did not know they could not trace their lineage. Base avoysam bizarum. The mitzudos is bad. Why there are two words? Avoysam is their lineage, their fathers, and their seed. So he says in a chanami, it's a poetic expression. He avoysam bizarum is exactly the same thing. Ki zadam rotzoloimar mizera, from the seed of whom they came from. Miyotzu vukafalinin. It's repeated b'shemos nifrodim with different words. Different words, poetic expression. V'chein admas ofar. In Daniel we have two words, earth, just poetry. Samach gimel. Umin hakoyhanim heim bnei chavoya asher lokach hu choyzal bnei barzilai loymar shavim lokach achas mebnos barzilai. Their ancestors, one of their ancestors, these people, their ancestor took was a kohen, was a full-fledged kohen who did avod in the Beis Hamikdash, and he married a daughter of Barzilai Hagiladi. Alokach achas mebnos barzilai liisho ulzehoy nikra aleim shem barzilai loymar aleim bnei barzilai. And when that kohen married the daughter of Barzilai, he was no longer known to the tzibur as the kohen, but rather he was known, oh, he is the son-in-law of Barzilai, because he was such a famous person. Eile, hakohanim eile, they sought kisvam, dover kosov mehem, some type of deed, hamis yachsim, asher yisupar bo seder hadaros, can trace their lineage, v'lo nimsa, b'sefer yichos, lo nimsa, eile, kisuvim, v'zich, there's no mention of Zecher. There was no mention of them whatsoever, and therefore they were rejected. Hatershas said to him, "Who Nechemia ben Chakalia? He is Nechemia. We have later on Perkhes. We have the pasuk explicitly identifies Nechemia as Tarshasa. We don't have to come on to any elaborate drasha. It's an explicit pasuk in Perek Ches. We're going to see a whole episode what happened in Perek Ches and Rosh Hashanah with Ezra. They read from the Sefer Torah, the Tshuva movement, and the pasuk explicitly says that Tarshasa is Nechemia. Fine. The Amr Rabbi said in Sefer Levracha, why was he called this name of Hatir Shasa? Because he was the butler and the Chacham allowed him to drink the, it's a composite of heter, permission, shasa, to drink. And so we want to very quickly, how are Chazal to do this? There's no heter. If halach, it's osir, it's osir. No exceptions, no and, if, or buts. So we answer this, when we learn this in Ezra, we answer this a few times, is that at this point in time, there was no halacha. It was only begeder minhag. The Anshei Knes HaGadolah first, later in time, enacted all of the halachas. That this, we're now entering the tkufa during the time of the Bayis Sheni, is where the halachas Shulchan Aruch, as we know it, began to form. At this point in time, there's no prohibition to drink wine that was touched by a goy. The only time you're not allowed to drink wine of a goy is if we are 100% certain the goy took the wine and he poured it as an offering in front of an idol. If you do not know that a goy poured the wine in front of an idol, there's no problem. There's no reason to assume that he did so. What you do not know is good for you. Alpi halacha, it's mutter. And that was the halacha. It was 100% mutter. It became the custom. Nothing more than a very, very lightweight minhag. A custom not to drink wine that was touched by a goy. It became the halacha, no ands, if, and buts, at a much later period in time. Probably 100 years later, it became the halacha that you're not allowed to drink from wine that was touched by a goy. But at this point in time, it was nothing more than a Jewish custom. Therefore, since it was only a custom, Chazal had the right, the Rabbanon of the time had the authority to say, you don't have to be noig this minhag. I'm sure many people, you go to a rav, you have a problem, you can't do a certain minhag, they'll say, all right, so you don't do the minhag. So the world won't come to an end if you won't follow this custom. Let's say we're a kittel. by wearing a kittel. It's a minhag on by the Seder. Not everyone wears a kittel. It's a minhag. Many people wear a kittel by the Seder. So let's say you go to the Rav and you tell the Rav, you know, I'm very, very hot. I'm very, very hot, and if I'm going to wear the kittel,
come back from the laundry.
So the Rav will say, you know, it's only a minhag, so if you won't wear the kittel, we can make a special exception for you in your situation. Let's say, if I'm going to have to wear the kittel, I'm going to have to take me an hour to walk back and forth to go get my kittel. Okay, so we can make a heter for you. It's not the end of the world to be mevatel a minhag. That's exactly what the situation was when it came to Nehemiah drinking wine from a non-Jew. It was not yet established as halacha. It was only begeder minhag. Therefore, Chazal were allowed to give him a dispensation, heter shasa, to drink from the wine of Daryavesh to serve in the palace of the king. The law was they may not eat from Kodashim, Kodesh HaKodashim. The Yomru Rabbi Seinu Zichron Levracha Zuhi Truma the Kodesh HaMizbech. Now Kodesh HaKodashim is a very, very, if you take it literally, what does that mean? The only means only Kodesh HaKodashim, but they can eat Kodesh Kalin. They can eat a carbon shlamin, and they can eat Truma. Truma is not called Kodesh HaKodashim. They can eat all the Manas Kahuna. They can eat. No, that's not. Chazal said the word Kodesh HaKodashim is to be interpreted loosely. A high lashon, the way the words are used in Sifrei Ksuvim is not the same way they're used in Chumash. In Chumash, when it says Kodesh HaKodashim, it refers very specifically to a carbon chatas, to a carbon oila, to a carbon asham. Right, you say that Ezeh Mekoyman, they are Kodshei Kodashim, Shechitos and Matzofain. And you have to have a Shtayim Shein Arba. And you have to have you can only eat those from the Menach Kloim, Lezichei Kahuna, Liyom Velayla, Ad Chatzais. There are very great limitations because that's the way the word is used in Chumash. Here we have an example of Ksuvim. In Ksuvim, you can take exactly the same word that appears in Chumash. It's not meant to be interpreted the same way, it's much broader. It's much broader. It means even Truma and Kodshei Mizbech, any Kodshei Mizbech. That's at least. Yeah.
Are you allowed to do Avodah?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. Not only can they not allow to avoid because the rule, there's a rule that a Kohen, that's a Baal Mum, a Kohen who's a lefty, right, from the best Yichus. Let's say Aaron HaKohen had a son that was a lefty. Can he do Avodah? Absolutely not. He's a Baal Mum. Can he eat kachim? Yes. He can eat kachim. So if you can't eat kachim, you certainly can't do the avoda. Next, Le'udim Vitumim. When will they be permitted? Maybe there's a chance. Le'udim Vitumim. Lishol Bochem Imhem Kohanim Kasher Mucho Oimer. What the pasuk means to say, it's an expression. It means until the coming of Moshiach. Ad Sheyovay HaMoshiach V'yishalu Oz Le'udim Vitumim Kibidei Sabay Shem Lohoyu and Vitumim Lishol Bochem. In the time of the Bayis Sheni, even though there was a functioning Beis HaMikdash, there were five things that were missing, and one of the five things was the Urim Vitumim in the fold of the Choshen, that the Shem was missing, and they were unable to make a request from the Urim Vitumim to such requests like this. And there's a lot of discussion, why can we follow Halacha? Halacha, this chazaka, this presumption, in order to figure out. So you see, it's very complicated. There are times when we follow halacha, Torah la bashamayimi, and there are times when we want to clarify reality. We want to clarify the mitzias. And that, the Urim Vitumim does indeed help, because you get to the question, why do you want to ask the Urim Vitumim? Torah lav bashamayimi. Torah has been given over to man. Man has the power to decide. There is a Shulchan Aruch. There are guidelines. So let the Sanhedrin work with the rules of Shulchan Aruch, and they will determine the status of these Kohanim. No, so they didn't have the Urim Vitumim. So the general question, what's the purpose of the Urim Vitumim? Why do you need Urim Vitumim? There's halacha.
There was no
Urim Vitumim.
No, but there was no halacha. Didn't you say before that?
Of course there was halacha. There were Talmidei Chacham, of course. There were Talmidei Chachamim.
In situations where it can't be determined through halacha.
That's a question. Is there such a thing? Okay, I don't know the answer. It's a very complicated. Is there such a thing that cannot be resolved through the rules of halacha. Halacha, there are guidelines in halacha, and that's all encompassing. There are rules. If you don't know the answer, it's because you don't know the halacha. You need to go to a bigger Talmud Chacham. They did ask. So, question: what is it? What exactly do you ask? You don't ask the Urim V'Tumim halachic questions. You ask the Urim V'Tumim hashkafic questions. You ask, should we go to war? Al pi halacha, yes, you can go to war. You not you should you go to war? Is this woman in front of me, right? So you have Chana. Chana was a shikoira. What was she doing? She was whispering. She was whispering. Okay, there's a whole question. Why did he ask? Why did he waste? ask the Urim term to ask. What is she doing? That's a discussion. It's a very complicated topic, which I don't have the answer for. But it's something to take note of. L'chora halacha conquers everything. Here we have a person. He comes a person comes to Eretz Yisrael. He wants to be a Jew. He comes from somewhere in Africa, and he's from some tribe, and they have a tradition in this tribe that they're Jewish, and they follow certain customs. And I'm Jewish. We have a tradition that we're Jewish from the Aseres HaShvatim. So they come to Eretz Yisrael. I want to participate in the minyan. I want to be one of the 10 people in the minyan. So I want to marry someone who you consider to be a full-fledged Jew. How do you deal with this person? So you go to the Bat Edinim. The Rabbanut has a special Bat Edinim that specialize in this. They have guidelines. It's very complicated. Halacha will tell you what your status is, yes or no. So what's the problem? Now the Urim V'Tumim are going to come along and tell us that this person is a Jew? Torah lav b'shamayim hi. It's been decided already by the court.
But there are
teku. What is a teku? Teku means to clarify the reality, the mitzias. We don't know what the mitzias. We don't have the ability to understand what is the mitzias. What is the reality? After we'll know what the reality is, then the talmidei chacham on their own will decide on the principles. We don't know. We need a scientist, basically. Eliyahu HaNavi is going to act not as a talmud chacham. He's going to act as a scientist to tell us the mitzias.
One of the tasks of Eliyahu HaNavi isn't it to sort out the yuchsit? Right?
So what does that tell us, basically? That yichus is not a matter of halach. So we're coming to touch upon this thing. That's what you do, so you have to work with this. Yichus, it's a very big chiddush, is not halach. It's outside the purview of halacha. Yichus is a matter of fact. It's a matter of reality. Who is your father? Who is your grandfather? Who is your great-grandfather? Even though we have very, very often, we have a piece of meat. You find the piece of meat in the street. Did it come from these 9 stores or did it come from this store? Why can't we say Eliyahu HaNavi will come? This is a very difficult question. There's no good answer for. Eliyahu HaNavi will come and will tell us if this piece of meat came from what the reality is. He will do DNA sampling. He'll do a test. Did it come from this store? Did it come from this store? And then we'll know if it's kosher or not kosher. Yet there are daf and gemara. There are many complicated simanim shulchan aruch. We go basarayv. Call the parish, meidu parish. Call kavua, mechzal mechza. So say the same thing when it comes to a person. You have a person. We don't know what your status is. There is evidence that you've come from a tribe in Africa. There are stories like this. I heard about Shlomo Zalman Arbach Paskin in case like this. Very complicated. This case from Yashiv. I remember there was a story where I think it was Rabbi Yashiv, he went up against the Rabbanut. The Rabbanut was Machmir and he was Mako. there are stories like this. There are stories like this. This halacha. So what's the big... Why when it comes to a piece of meat we don't say teku? Eliyahu HaNavi will come and tell us what the story is. So what will you tell me? Because by the time Eliyahu HaNavi comes, the meat's going to spoil. Right? The people will still be around, whether it's children, their grandchildren. But right now, forget about their children and their grandchildren. Eliyahu HaNavi is not here. This person, this individual, wants to do the avoda. So Eliyahu HaNavi is not here. The same way the meat's going to spoil, the person who has a pressing question. Why is there a difference between a piece of meat that we don't know from which store it came, and a Jew we don't know from who his father is.
And the consequences.
What?
Right. potential consequences.
So there are always potential consequences.
I know, but some more than others.
Some more than others. It's a very fine line. We have a principle, Torah lav vashamayimi, yet the Urim v'tumim is in the category of, and it's coming here, it's being applied specifically, explicitly to the laws of Yichus. Yichus is the exception to this principle. Let's go further. Yeah.
Ezra and Nehemiah, wouldn't they have wanted to be more machpia and everything? How do we get to a point here where the Rabbanim are giving him permission to do something? If it was a question, no, you know, it was a minhag and no one said anything, okay, one thing. But for the Rabbanim to have to give him rishus means that there was more than just a little bit of a...
It was a minhag, it was a problem, it was a significant problem.
Right, he should have been machmer on it. Because he everything he did, his whole...
You're making a good point. But we have to understand the need. It was a very great need that a person like him be close to the king. Daryavish, you have to do your hishtalus, you have to lobby. You learn over here that you do because, oh, he's going to be machmir, then I'm going to quit. I'm not able to drink from the wine of the king Daryavish, so I quit. I quit, and now we're not going to have a person in government to protect us. So you'll say, that's right, we have to have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and sit and daven the whole day. You see from this, not like that, you see that in this tkufa, there's something called the shtalos. We're not on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua just to put up our hands to Shemayim and the miracles are going to happen. You have to do your shtalos. And Chazal said, we want you to be there and we're going to make a special dispensation for you because Maisa of a similar bond, there is a need for shtalos. That's the lesson to take out of Sefer Nehemiah. This is a blueprint for Golos.
We're doing this because he wasn't political.
He was political. Nehemiah was extremely political.
Mordechai does it when he says, "Ubi Odeil
Look at Esther was married to a non-Jew. Today, this is unheard of. We need someone on the inside, so we'll give over a Jew into marriage. It's unheard of, such a thing. We don't understand the times, but there is such, which against her will as well, so you can't judge. But here, the Rabbanon gave explicit permission. There's a custom. It's in public. It's a shtikl chil Hashem. You're giving up on your principles. Yeah, you can't say that. When you're giving in, eitz lasos, you're giving in on your principles of the minhag of not to drink from wine of a non-Jew. Because the overall good is we need an insider. We need someone to lobby the king for our benefit, for the survival of Klal Yisrael. Where do you draw the balance? When do you maintain your principles at any cost? When do you give in? It's an extremely difficult balance. And the Chacham of the time felt that, and you can't judge in every generation because at this point in time it was a lightweight prohibition. It was only a custom. It was not a halacha psuka. And in this situation, they gave in. Okay, let's just finish up the next. Let's go to the next one pasuk. We're going to stop. I'm not going to do them. I just want to finish up this last pasuk in one medrash. Pasuk Samach Vav. What's the tally? Kol Akol Kiyachad Arba Ribo. The entire here we have the pasuk which concludes the entire kohol was 40,000. Ribo means 10,000. So 4 times 10,000 is 40,000. Alpayim, 2,000. Shloshmeil, 300. Vashishim, 42,360. This is exactly the same. Now, even though I want to just point out that there's a difference of about, if you count up, yesterday I gave you the count of the Yisraelim, the Levim, and the Kohanim. And I gave you the count of 29,427 in Sefer Nehemiah, which is a little bit more than 400, more than 29,009 in Sefer Ezra. Now today, we've added another 392, plus another 600 and 642, for another total. We're now adding the Nesinim, and we're adding the people that cannot trace their lineage, and Barzilai HaGiladi, and that comes out to another total of 30,461 in Sefer Nehemiah, and in Sefer Ezra it's 30,053. Okay, so about 400 difference between the two. And then it says there was another 12,000 and change. A grand total was 42,360. What are you talking about? If you count up everything, it's 30,461. So who are these other 12,000 people? The answer is there were other people. There were other Jews who were miyuchasim from the Aseres HaShvatim, even though the Aseres HaShvatim were exiled by Sancheriv long, long ago, about 300 years ago. They survived. They survived. They were all over the world. And now when Koresh issued a proclamation, come back to Eretz Yisrael, they joined. So when Miyaches, the Yehuda, and Binyamin, the Kohanim, the Levim, the Avdei Shlomo, the Nesinim, and people that cannot trace the Yichus, plus another 12,000 Jews who came for a grand total of 42,360. And that number is the same in Sefer Ezra and in Sefer Nehemiah. Let us read the beginning of this Samach Vav. Kol HaKol Kiyachot Kulum Yachat HaYisraelim VeHaKohanim VeHaLevim VeHanesinim Uvnei Avdei Shlomo Arba Ribo Uvipratun Lo Yalu L'Cheshvan Hatzeh. If you go and you count the number, you're not going to get that number. The count number is going to equal 30,461. Avolechosha beproton kiim haYisraelim. Why? So it's a very, very critical Rashi here, or Mitzudas here. Why? Because the numbers that we've enumerated above is only kiim haYisraelim mibnei Yehuda uben Yamin from two Shvatim. These the Yisraelim in the beginning of the parak only go to the imasha alum yeser haShvatim. Was another 12,000 people. V'chein v'furash b'seder oilam. Period. Now, I'm not going to do this now, but let's do one little medrash. The Megillah Medrash of Gemara and Kedushin, going back to those five places. Those five places listed where they came from in Bavel, where there was Tel Melach, Tel Harsha, Kuv, Adoin, v'Imer. So it says in the Gemara, Gemara and Kedushin, Naf Ayin, Amid Aleph, Tel Melach, Eilu bnei Adam shedoyim maasem l'maaseh Sedom. It refers to Rishoyim, people that were evil people, like Sedom. Sedom turned into a mound of salt. Nitziv Melach, shenepcho l'tel Melach, tel Charsha, that they were Rishoyim. Okay, pashup shat. They were wicked people that came, joined, and came to Eretz Yisrael, which made trouble. Obviously, tel Charsha. What does tel Charsha alludes to? Ze shekori Abba. A child is in his mother's lap, and he points, says, Abba, Abba. And the mother says, shh, quiet. Tells the child, quiet, that's not your father. That's not your father. So who is his father? We don't know. We have a child. We know who the mother is. The mother is holding the baby. We know the hospital, she gave birth to this child. But we don't know who the father is. And every time the child imitates the other children, and he says, Abba, 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 the mother says, shh, quiet. Because we do not know who the child's father is, so there's a lack of yichus. It could be the father's a goy. It doesn't matter. Al pi halacha, the child is Jewish because we go after the mother. That's what's called charsha, charsha, silence. Next, then it says in front of that was skipping over the other cities, but it goes to the end of the pasuk. It says they cannot tell beis avoysam v'zaram. What's the repetition? Zehu asufi. That's even worse. A child that was abandoned. So we don't know who the father is, and we don't even know who the mother is. But we could assume the child is Jewish because most people in this city are Jews. Okay, next. Then we have, now what does it mean in the middle of the pasuk? Kruv and Adoin and Imer. Kruv Adoin and Imer. So the man makes a drash. Amar Adoin. So we take the middle word, Adon, which really is the name of a place, but we apply it here to our Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Adoin, the master of the world, said Kadosh Baruch Hu, said, Ani amarti yiyu Yisrael lefanai chashuvim kakruv. I wanted you to be holy like angels. A kruv is an angel. Kruvim. Kruvim in the top of the Luchos. And in front of the Gan Eden, they were kruvim. Kruvim are angels. I wanted you to be kedoshim tihiyu. Ki kadosh ani Akikadosh ani, I want you to be holy people. But what did you do? You were not holy people. Part of holiness means to be loyal, faithful to your spouse. But what did you do? You were not faithful. You acted like the third other word in the pasuk called the Imer. Imer is a word for a leopard. Leopards, I'm not familiar with the cat family, but it seems leopards, they're very unfaithful. There's no loyalty. There's no loyalty among the cats. They just go on where they mate with whoever they find in the street. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu criticized Klal Yisrael. I wanted you to be like the kruv, holy like angels, and be faithful to your spouse. But what did you do? You behave like leopards. Omar, what? This medrash, a nomer. And this, there are different midrashim. There are conflicting midrashim which take the word emer and they use it to refer to different types of animals. Correct. It's a very good point. I saw different midrashim. Amar vo, amar odon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ani amati yu li shol lefnai chashuvim kekruv. Veheim samu atzmam kanomer. That's one interpretation. Some say, but some put a positive twist on this. They say that even though you're so terrible, you're like a nomer, in my eyes, Hashem says, you're choshev like an angel. Because I love you so much, I'll overlook your sins, I will view you to be holy like angels. So we go back to the pasuk, review what that pasuk. That pasuk is pasuk Samach Aleph. They were Rishoyim that came from Tel Melach, even though they were placed, that means they were wicked like people of stone. Tel Charsha, that's called the Shesuke. The mother silences him. We know who the mother is, we don't know who the father is. Kruv Adon V'Imer, three words. Omer Adon, I wanted you to be an angel, but you made yourself into a Namer. V'lo yoch lagil beis avesim zadam in Yisholchem, that refers to the Asufe, someone that was collected off the street. We don't know who his mother, who his father is. All of these people came up with the Miyuchasim from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, and Ezra was very careful to put them in place, to label them that they should not intermarry and cause problems with the Miyuchasim. Okay, so we will stop here. Pick up Miyuchasim tomorrow.